Time to talk some Major League Baseball and Royals baseball with Les Norman. He's been with us many times before. Les knows his baseball inside and out. Used to play for the Royals, and Les is with us today. My man, how you doing? Are you staying healthy? Are you staying safe during this crazy time that we're living in?
Yes, we are all good here in the metro area in Kansas City. Thank you for asking. Everybody's healthy. My son, my youngest son, did just finish his summer baseball season, so he actually played and got some games in and some tournaments in. So just doing what we need to do to help be a part of being safe and healthy, but we're all good here.
Well, let me ask you this. I wasn't planning on starting it out, the interview with you, on this note, but since you kind of brought that up, how important is it in your eyes to, you know, there's a balance, I think, that we're all dealing with in regards to being a little bit scared or a fearful and want to be respectful and courteous of others. But at the same time, we still have to live our lives. And certainly young people, and not just young people, everybody in this world is affected by this. But how important was it for you and your family and your kids to at least have that, have baseball and have some games? Because I know for our team, we didn't have a great year, but it still was a lot better than not playing at all.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that the kids get a chance to get outside. It's important to have competition because you can learn so much. There's so much character in the game of baseball and in sports in general that you can learn. It gets a chance to just, you know, be active and exercise and breathe and all those things. And so I'll be honest with you. My family has not been worried about it. I know it's a pandemic, and there are people out there that are high risk, and many people sadly have lost their lives because of this. And so, you know, when we go out into public places where you can't spread out and social distance, we're going to wear the mask that we should wear to help protect other people. But then my family will not live by fear. I mean, we are a family of faith, and we will live by faith, and we will live by our liberties, and we will respect other people and help do our part, like I said, to take care of them. But there is absolutely no fear. My youngest son's looking forward to going back to school in person. My older one is in college now, and he'll be online most of it, but he may have one class where he goes in person. So, it's doing our part. It's being respectful. It's taking care of our bodies and our lives. But by no means will we live in fear. We are a family of faith, and we will live by our faith.
I'm so disappointed, Les. I mean, come on, man. You got to pick a side, right? You just got to yell at everybody. It's just the way it is, it seems, like our country. And it's so unfortunate because I feel exactly like you do, that I'm not a big fan of wearing a mask. Of course, I don't think a lot of people are fans of wearing it per se, but I'm going to be respectful and courteous. If I walk into a business and it says I got to wear a mask, then I'm going to wear a mask. And if I have a problem with it, I'm not going to go into that store. If I'm not wearing a mask and I walk in, a lot of people are wearing masks, then guess what? I'll have one with me, hopefully, and I'll put it on. And if I forgot my mask, then I'm going to sheepishly leave and try to find it, or I'll have to go somewhere else. But I'm not going to come in screaming and yelling about all this stuff, because we all have different opinions. And I feel like the key word you said there was, you know, respect. And I feel that's lacking at times.
Absolutely right. There is a lack of respect because, you know, I think it was Patrick Henry that said, give me liberty or give me death. And it's true in the sense that I want to keep my liberty. I don't want to give my life away, but part of the thread of that liberty and part of the thread of faith, the thread of faith is love. And, you know, God created us in love, and we are to love other people. And if it makes other people uncomfortable, or, you know, if I'm at a restaurant and there is a senior sitting next to me that has health issues and I'm not wearing a mask, I mean, I could be asymptomatic, or I may not even know that I have it at all, because I may have no symptoms of anything whatsoever. And I'm putting that person at risk. And so, is it really going to make that much of a difference if I go into an establishment, if I'm going grocery shopping or somewhere where there's people and you have to wear a mask? Is it really going to be that big of a deal if I walk around with a mask on? I mean, you know, like you said, we both are in radio, have those lovely faces for radio. I'm just doing other people a favor by covering this face up anyway. So the whole point is that we just need to love and respect other people. And it's not. No one's telling me I can't vote. No one's telling me I can't go outside. No one's telling me I can't do the things that make our country great and have the freedoms that people have fought for us for years in our military, so we could enjoy those freedoms. And so, I will respect other people and continue my liberty in that balance.
Well said, former Royal Les Norman, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. All right, let's talk baseball in general first, and then we'll get specifically into the Royals. This is unprecedented in regards to the type of season. It is a sprint, not a marathon. We always have said for years, baseball, settle down. It's not how, I mean, if you start out great, that helps, but it's still a marathon. But we saw the very first game of the year, the Royals kind of did things a little bit differently in regards to pulling a pitcher with 65 pitches because every game is so important. But I want to start here. For you as a player, what you didn't have to go through this personally, but you see what players have had to do in getting prepared, starting spring training, and then, of course, being shut down. How could you relate to the players themselves and to let our listening audience know about how challenging that has to be, preparing for a season and then stopping and then restarting, and then all of a sudden you got to be ready to go day one because you're only going to play 60 games?
It's very difficult. It's difficult to do because the bottom line is that, and I'm just talking even as a hitter right now, you cannot simulate game speed situations where guys are throwing 98 with nasty movement and hard sliders and change-ups and hitting behind runners and the different weather elements and after you rode a plane and you're tired. I mean, there's so many factors that get involved and you can't simulate them when you go from a spring training that's stopped and then wait all the way until the end of the month of July to have a new spring training, which really is a shortened spring training because once you stop spring training and you're taking all those months off, even when you're working out, it's not the same thing. It's still not spring training. So you're essentially, at least physically, you have the onus on you to make sure you eat well, lift weights, run, stay in shape, take batting practice, take ground balls, do the plyos and the cross training and all the things that you might want or need to do, but it still doesn't simulate all those things because you're basically having to start over and spring training gets shortened. And so then, the season didn't start with game one. The season started with game 103.
Yeah.
Because in a 162-game season, you're simulating that because now you have 60 games to see if you can get to the playoffs. And, yes, they expanded the playoffs, but still that doesn't guarantee you're even going to get there when they expand it. So the whole idea is that it is absolutely unequivocally difficult in what you said, Wade, is an unprecedented season where nothing like this has ever happened before.
For a manager, how does that change the dynamics? We did see that in the first game. Danny Duffy got into trouble, I think it was in the fifth inning, went to the bullpen, he had thrown 65 pitches. In a normal situation, I think 9 times out of 10, Mike Matheny would have done what Ned Yost has done many years. Hey, we're going to work him on a pitch count, and then we'll go to this guy. And if things get away from us, it's just one of 162. Yes, it's important, but it's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Now we completely flip the mentality. How does that affect the manager and how he goes about things now?
Well, everything is of the essence immediate. Every decision you make now is immediate. This is more difficult on the managers than any other season before because in a 162-game season, you can go 10-30 and be 20 games under 500 after 40 games and then get hot and somehow sneak into a wild card. I mean, that's just the way, again, like you said, it's a marathon in 162 games. But now, and I love the way Matheny's doing it, and we'll talk about it, but you can't, in a 60-game season, you can't just say, you're my closer, you're my sixth-inning guy, you're my seventh-inning guy, you're my eighth-inning guy, because if they blow it and you realize that you were wrong or you were right, but then they're just not performing or someone gets hurt, you don't have time to develop another guy over games 35 through 45. You have to know exactly what, and so you have to watch bullpen sessions. You have to stay in tune with your coaches. You have to see how they threw in that spring training, simulated spring training for that 1 month before the season started. There's so many more decisions that you have to make based on pinch hitters, hot pitchers, what roles they're going to play. It's just amazingly difficult, and I imagine that most major league managers do not sleep well.
Les Norman, our guest with us on the Sports Ticket today, talking Royals baseball. You mentioned roles. It's so true. I hadn't really thought about that, but you have so much less time to where you really can't define roles and then not having the extended spring training. And then on top of that, you don't have minor league baseball games for AAA affiliate in Omaha, your AA, to where, hey, here's a guy, he's throwing well. He's throwing great. He might be the answer to help us in the bullpen or be a spot starter. You don't have that to go off of this year.
You're absolutely right. You don't. And, the Royals with Josh Stallmont, they found a guy that is dealing right now, and who would have thought that? But you just don't have – I mean, I think it coming up here shortly, it goes from 30 down to 28, so it's shrinking even more. And you've got to keep those guys ready in case you got to flip-flop, call guys up, options, things like that. And so you just do not have the time in the back of your mind. You can't rest easy and say, okay, well, we'll develop someone and someone will emerge. No, you have to emerge now. And if it's not you, it's the next guy. And if it's not you, it's the next guy. And it has to happen now. And so for the players, it may put a little more pressure on, but it's the nature of the beast, the nature of Major League Baseball. If someone else isn't performing, you need to come up and perform, and due to the shortened season, your window may be, you remember the old car windows, the triangle windows that were next to your normal window in your door?
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of flick them open. I mean, that's your window. It's not some big picture window. You got a small window, and if you don't perform, you may not get another chance for a while.
What are your impressions of Mike Matheny? He came over from the Cardinals. I know there's some Cardinal fans. I have one out here who says, yeah, have fun with Matheny. Well, guess what? I heard the same thing about Ned Yost. I heard the same thing about Andy Reid. That worked out pretty well for Kansas Cityans.
Yeah, it's interesting that I've heard so many Cardinal fans say that, and half of this is me, you know, getting on Cardinal fans because I grew up a Cub fan in Chicago, so there's always that animosity there. But listen, you know, Cardinal fans say that because, you know, 99.99999% of the people don't know Mike Matheny as a human being or as a person. And I grew up in this game with Mike Matheny. We were friends and teammates back in the Arizona Fall League in the early 90s. And I watched him go, you know, I once charged the mound one time when I got hit and tripped on the mound. And big Mike Matheny jumped on top of me and his pitcher punched him instead of me because he missed my face and hit Mike. So, you know, it's he is a man of drive. He's a man of discipline. He's a strong man of faith and family. He's had some difficulties in his life, and he has overcome them. He's had to work really hard. He's had to trust God in many situations. And so people only want to say bad things about people that are in the limelight because they would do something different. Well, hindsight's 20/20, and if your team loses, and if you're a diehard fan, like a lot of St. Louis Cardinal fans are, they're diehard fans. That's what makes it really unique and great. But you only see the winning and losing. You don't see the substance behind the sheen on the top. And so you have to understand the type of person that is managing. And yes, it is where you don't win. You get fired. You lose your job. And I get that and I understand that. But Mike Matheny in Kansas City is not the same as Mike Matheny in St. Louis as a manager, but Mike Matheny will always be Mike Matheny as a man that I respect for many, many reasons, and I think he's going to be good for this club. The way he's managed it so far is he's challenged guys. You can see his fire in the dugout when they win. He'll be patient, but he will continue to hold guys to the fire and hold them accountable to it, and so he will be a good manager for this ball club. Yes, he'll get compared to St. Louis. Yes, he'll get compared to Ned Yost in a World Series, but that's not fair. People need to be mature about it and understand it's a new situation, it's different. And how many of the people, I'll end with this, how many of the people out there that complain about Mike Matheny that were Cardinal fans, okay, how many of them would come in during a pandemic, an unprecedented generational pandemic that hasn't been seen for years and years and years, how many of them would be able to function that well in a situation and still hold their family together and still be a man of integrity and a man of God that he is? Not many. And so it would be nice once in a while if people would look behind the scenes a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great point. Former Royal Les Norman, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. One of the things that stood out to me about Mike Matheny right off the bat in regards to this season was, and I'm going to go back to what we mentioned earlier, is when he pulled Danny Duffy that first start of the year after 65 pitches. And I really like transparency. I think for somebody to understand what's behind the curtain, sometimes people get buttoned up. They don't want to share anything because they're worried somebody's going to take it the wrong way, or you know how it goes. In this case, I thought it was refreshing, and maybe this is part of just being early on. He'll do this, and then if you know third year as a manager of Royals, he won't do this. So I hope he continues to. But I really, really appreciated him explaining why he did what he did on that season opening day with Duffy, and it made complete sense. It made complete sense when he explained it. And I'm sure he's explained it to Danny Duffy and to his team as well. And that gave to me a little bit of a peek in the locker room behind the scenes as to and into his head. Here, listen, it didn't work. Obviously, I wish it would have worked. I still would have done the same thing. We looked at all the variables to this, and it didn't work out. But he explained very in-depthly why they did what they did. And it, of course, it tied in with what we said earlier, is that every game is so important. I find that refreshing, don't you?
I do. I find it refreshing because here's the deal. He doesn't owe that type of explanation to any of us.
Exactly.
He really doesn't. And I know what fans will say is, well, we pay his salary. Well, not really, because John Sherman pays his salary, the owner of the Royals. That's who pays his salary. You do go out to games. Well, not this year, but in general, you go out to games. And so, you know, it's managers don't owe that. Managers do need to have good media presence. They need to treat the media with respect. And a lot of times, and now I'm a member of the media, I've made the transition to the dark side, Wade. We are in the media together now. But it can be difficult sometimes, and sometimes there are media that get a little bit testy and they bait a little bit, but then also managers and players bait the media sometimes as well. It goes both ways. So he doesn't have to get those deep explanations, but that's the type of human being that he is. He cares about people. He wants people to understand. And Mike Matheny is not doing it to justify himself. Mike Matheny doesn't do things like that because he's insecure and he wants you to like him, and he doesn't lose sleep at night counting his Facebook friends, and hopefully that will increase. Max is at 5,000 anyway, so hey, it doesn't matter. The whole point is that he's just a man of integrity and wants you to understand for your enjoyment of the game, so you understand the game and what's going on, and so he can help your experience as a fan know what's going on deeply in the games. And that's a really cool trait to have as a manager.
No doubt. Okay, let's get to the team on the field. The Royals are off to a slow start. They're 3-9. They've lost 5 in a row. My biggest concern going into the season was starting pitching, or a lack thereof, especially when thank you. But then on top of all that, you have Keller and COVID, and you got Junis is out, and now you've got, you know, Brady Singer, who I don't think they really wanted to have start this early in his career, but it is what it is. He's the best candidate to pitch. He's done fine. He was on the mound last night, struck out 8, gave up a couple 2-run homers. You know, Chris Buick's going to get the start tonight when the Cubs come to Kansas City, so we get a glimpse of the future, which we'll talk about that more in depth here in a moment. But my biggest concern is starting pitching, and yet a lot of people want to talk about the offense, and certainly rightfully so when you strike out so much, but the offense has been a major issue as well. So let's start there. Starting pitching and then offense. Is that the two concerns you have right now?
Yeah, because the bullpen's dealing. But let's remember, before the season started, we can back up with this. Did we really think that this Royals team, even in a 60-game season, was going to contend?
I didn't.
I mean, did we? Right. And it's just the reality. It's not bagging on them at all. It's just based on the personnel, the mix of veterans. You know, Whit Merrifield is a great talent, but he's going to be getting near the end of his career quickly. Alex Gordon is probably in his last year. Yes, we have Soler, and he has been absolutely amazing, but how much more can Salvi hold up? He's already been through a bunch of injuries. He's a big guy on his knees playing first base where he doesn't belong, but it keeps him in the lineup. And so, you know, there are a lot of variables that happen in there with this team that people that understand the game should understand that this team was not probably going to be in the playoffs this year. Mike Matheny will probably tell you, well, that's not how we were going to manage it and play it, and that's what he should say and go for. But it's not the reality of it. And so, you know, the starting pitching has struggled. It absolutely has struggled. But you also have to understand that in a season that's only 60 games, and in a season where you knew you weren't going to be in the playoffs, we've got to see some prospects that we might not have seen until September or even next year. And so we're getting an early peek and giving these guys experience that is going to be valuable, because next year and the year after, now they're going to have some tread underneath their tires. And they're going to have learned how to pitch. They're going to have learned through failure. They're going to see successes. They've got enough guys around them in the clubhouse that are veterans that can lead them well and teach them through certain things. So not all is lost when you're 3-9 as it pertains to the starting rotation. There's just good, valuable experience. And, you know, the offense for me, again, that's where I live. I was the offensive guy. I was the hitter. And so it is a little bit frustrating. We've talked about the walks. We talked about it here in KC yesterday. I mean, there has to be some patience. You know, I think Mondesi got 3 or 4 hits last night, at least 3 that I know of. So he's coming around a little bit and doing some good things. And you need 100 at-bats. The problem is, in a 60-game season, mm-hmm. you got to start measuring it at 40 to 50 at-bats. I mean, that really shrinks it down a little bit. So there has to be more patience. You got to work counts. And a lot of the Royals hitters seem to be not letting the game come to them. I remember a few nights ago, Mondesi hit a ball off of his knee that ricocheted off of his ankle, but the pitch was a slider that was a foot inside, and it was the first pitch. Why do you swing at a slider that's a foot off the plate on the first pitch unless you're guessing, you're impatient, or you're pressing? And that becomes the situation when every day, okay, we're 3-7. Now we're 3-8. Mm-hmm. Now we're 3-9. We have to make something happen, and they don't have to make something happen. And when they think that way, things will happen. So it's good for the young starters, even though they're getting a little bit of a hit. The offense needs to pick it up because they've had two games where they've scored one time they scored 14, one time they scored 11, and it took those two games to even have the Royals. They scored four last night, and they're averaging four runs a game. If it wouldn't have been for those two games, we'd be averaging in the low threes per game, or maybe the high twos. And so, yeah, it is a rough start, but it's because it's impatience and pressing.
Yeah, it's amazing how things can change over the years. You know, 5 years ago, what was the main strength of the Royals? They put the ball in play. They put the pressure on the defense. And now the Royals don't even get guys on base because they're striking out all the time. And as you said, they don't even walk. And that is a recipe for disaster when it comes to trying to score runs. And on top of that, your starting pitching isn't lights out. I'm going to go to this. And I think it depends on your perspective. And I'm interested in yours. So a short season, I heard people say, well, it's no big deal for the bad teams because they weren't going to make it anyway. And then I've heard, well, it really hurts the really good teams because now, you know, like the Nationals last year got off that a horrible slow start and then ended up being World Series champions. It gives the small teams a chance to make the playoffs. They expand the field. That's great. And so forth and so on. But if you're really bad, it's not a big deal. The other side of it I look at, and I've heard somebody talk about this too, is that it is a big deal for everybody in any perspective. But the Royals are got some really young players that they think highly of in their system that could be the next wave that could bring the Royals to postseason contention again and maybe win a World Series. And those guys are losing time because of COVID-19, and that can really stunt player development, can it?
Yes, it can. I mean, taking a year off is a big deal. I remember being an active player in AAA, probably a few days before I got called up, I was in AAA at the end of May hitting 380, and I was dealing. And then I got to the big leagues and spent a month in the big leagues and set the bench. And when I got back to AAA, I couldn't find my timing for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, they called me back up in September, but still didn't play that much. And so it only takes a week or two for a lot of people to struggle. I mean, I'm talking prospects now, the young guys, because they don't have that mental strength or consistency or experience to allow themselves to relax and get that timing back a little bit quicker. So it is tough. It is absolutely tough. I mean, look at Anthony Rendon for the Angels. I watched him last night. We've seen what Anthony Rendon has done with the Nationals for years. He's been Clubber Lang out there. Holy cow. And he's getting beat by 92 mile an hour fastballs because even veteran guys struggle to get their timing when they've had time off sometimes. And so it is difficult. You know, when I hear people say, oh, well, you know, the better teams, if they get off to a slow start, they're penalized. Well, I'm sorry, then don't get off to a bad start. I mean, the playing field is level for everybody.
Yes.
And yes, we know the Royals and other teams wouldn't make the playoffs. However, they could have got hot at the beginning of the season when they didn't expect it. And had a chance to get in the playoffs. So you can make all these excuses, but every single team had a 60-game season schedule coming in on day one.
Your thoughts on Singer and Bubik? Singer's had three starts. He's got strikeout stuff, which is very encouraging to me. And then the Bubik's going to start tonight. It'll be his second start. I think he was pretty nervous his first time out.
Yeah, how could you tell?
Yeah, just
Just a little bit. I mean, he looks like he's 12 years old in the face.
He does.
Looks like he's maybe 15. But, man, Bubic looked like he was just coming out of his 8th grade graduation.
Yeah.
So I like both of their stuff. They're both talented. They both make speeds really well. Bubic was nervous, you could tell, because he was all over the plate. And, you know, he left balls up in the zone, which hurt him a little bit. But the thing I like about both of those guys is that they bounced back. Now, having Salvador Perez behind the plate, that helps quite a bit. You know, that he's the catcher that they're going to get to work with, even if it's Cam Gallagher catches a game, but most likely it's going to be Salvi. So he understands the game and he can help those guys, and that's going to be a big addition. I love their stuff. I love that they listen to their catcher, which is good. And you need to get knocked around a little bit as a kid sometimes in order to gain experience and get better and learn how to pitch. I mean, young pitchers know how to throw a lot because they're talented and pitch a little bit. Once they get to the big leagues, you better know how to pitch all the time. And that's half with your mind and the other half with your body. And so I like their stuff. I think they're going to be great in the future as long as they can stay healthy. I like their poise more than anything. And I love the fact that they have Sal Perez behind growing them up in the game.
Former Royal Les Norman, our guest today on Sports Ticket. All right, time for off-the-wall questions. Got a couple for you, Les. What was your reaction when you heard Patrick Mahomes was going to be in Kansas City for 12 years? Not necessarily about how long he's going to be there, but what was your reaction when you heard that it could be a max out of $503 million?
Gosh, I think my first thought was, I think my quote in my mind was, man, that's stupid money. If you could understand what I mean by that, I mean, wow. I was amazed that it was, you know, $500 million for a football player is crazy. You know, and saying, I never use the word deserve because there's too much pain and suffering in the world to say someone deserves $500 million to throw a football. Now, did he, based on market value, the way the sport has gone, did I expect him to get a large, incredibly huge contract? Yes, absolutely. And it's great he's going to be here a long time. It's great now that he's part owner of the Royals, which means he threw in the 90s. If it comes to worse case and we need to call someone up, hey, if he's a part owner, he can activate himself and maybe pitch in the seventh. Who knows?
Right.
But, you know, it's just really cool that he's a part of Kansas City. He's beyond his years in how he both on the field handles himself. He's a born leader, and he's just that media darling that everybody loves as well. So it wasn't so much about the money that wowed me, but the fact that they locked him up for a long time made me feel happy for Kansas City and have a bright future for the Chiefs.
Will the NFL have a season, yes or no?
I think it's going to be delayed. I think they will have one. But I do think it's going to be delayed just a little bit because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they get rid of the preseason games?
Yes, all the preseason games have been canceled, yes.
Right. That, in turn, is probably you're going to see if they do start on time or start delayed with no games at the beginning and they can't get that live speed stuff, I'm just concerned that you're going to have more injuries than normal in that first season, that first week. I mean, not season, but week, first games, when people are going all out and just haven't, you know, had again that live, like we talked to baseball, that live cutting, blocking, something like that. And so if there's a rash of injuries, that's going to be really frustrating and sad for the game.
Okay.
I think they will play. I just think it's going to be delayed a little bit than the normal regular season.
What about college football?
Same. I think they'll play. I mean, look, this isn't my thought, but when there's this much money involved, and if you can get the protocols right, they're going to push to play the game.
Sure.
Now, is it necessarily right when it comes to people's health? No. No, I know there's some controversies and some things going on out there with one of the college programs that they're trying to cover up COVID testing and things like that. But, you know, where there's money involved, there's going to be an effort to get it going.
Yes.
And NFL and college football, too, there's just so much money involved. And so they're going to, if they're going to play the NFL, they're going to try to play college. They played MLB. They're going to give it a shot. Hopefully it will go. I think it'll be a delayed start. But, you know, here's the thing about football. It can be 10 below, and you can still play a football game. You can't do that in baseball.
Right.
I think they'll play, just a delayed start.
All right. And finally, your last name is Norman. Your first name is Les. There's also a guy named Lee Norman, who is the secretary of the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, who has received a lot of FaceTime on YouTube and Facebook and press conference briefings in the state of Kansas updating COVID-19. If you can't pick yourself, which you can't, who's the coolest Norman of them all? You or Lee. I'm not comparing just you two. I'm talking any Norman that you know out there. Who's the coolest Norman that you know that's not named Les or Lee?
I probably, well, my first answer would be either my wife or one of my two sons. They're all three at once. But okay. if I had to pick a sports figure, I would have probably said Greg Norman, because everybody called me, because Willie Mays Akins used to always call me Greg. He'd known me for 5 years. He would always say, Greg, what's up, Greg? And so finally, I just blew it off and said, yeah, I'm Greg. That's fine. I'll be Greg. But it was just cool to watch him play golf over the years. And yeah, so I'd say Greg Norman.
That is the first Norman I think of last name. I think of Greg Norman. Right after I think of Les, I think of Greg Norman. Les, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. How can people follow you online or listen to you? How can they get a hold of your work?
Yeah, the best thing to do for the radio stuff is way out where you guys are at. Is just probably my website, lesnorman.com/radio, and you can check out some podcasts there. I'm on Twitter, @LNorman22. You can just find me, my regular name, on Facebook. There's a Break of the Norm page you can follow, but we don't update that a lot because we're cycling through a lot of our podcasts on my own personal website, so you can check that out there as well. So it should be Facebook, Twitter, and then on my website, lesnorman.com.
Les, thanks for the time. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you again soon, my friend.
You got it, Wade. Thanks for having me, brother.
That is Les Norman, former Royal, our guest today on The Ticket.